Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two of Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with my friend Bethany Huang from International Justice Mission. I love my friends from IJM. You hear about them quite often on the show, what they're doing to combat slavery, human trafficking, injustice around the world. They really are confronting some of the world's worst bullies. And these people, every single friend from IJM is like Bethany, humble, so smart, so sincerely following Christ, so caring deeply about those with no voice, those you may never meet this side of heaven. But if you just want to really get an education on what's going on in the world and that there are people doing something about it, I pray you'll go back and listen to our first hour, get the podcast. It'll be up in a little bit, myfaithradio.com. We're going to switch gears now. We've got our friends Scott and Bethany Palmer coming back on the show. They've been on before to talk about the five money personalities. You've heard about the five love languages. Well, there's five money personalities. Super interesting. Well, their new book is about how to have these money conversations with your kids, because you might have a different money personality than your kids do. We're going to unpack that in a moment. I've got some really good news I just need to let you know about if you live in the Twin Cities. We've got listeners from all over the country. But if you live in the Twin Cities, you know, we're on the AM dial, AM 900 locally. Well, we are now on the FM dial in the Twin Cities, 90.7. As of today, you'll hear more about that in the days to come. But you can get Faith Radio on the FM dial 24/7 without getting that static thing that happens in the winter dark months at night. So, celebrate with us. As I said, you'll hear more about it, but you'll get a very clear signal on 90.7, and I'm really excited about that. So I don't want to waste another moment. Let me tell you about our second hour guests, and we'll get them on here. Scott and Bethany Palmer, the money couple, have dedicated their lives to helping others strengthen their relationships. During their four combined decades as financial planners, they witnessed an increasing trend of marriages ending in divorce over money. With multiple appearances and interviews with leading television, radio, and print outlets, Scott and Bethany have become national voices for helping couples understand their money approaches. And they've got an influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. And Scott and Bethany, thanks for coming back to the program today.
Well, thanks for having us.
It is great to be here.
You guys are just like the two Energizer bunnies. I bet you're just such such fun in marriage, huh?
We keep each other on our toes, that's
I love
for sure.
It.
Absolutely.
I love it. You both make me smile. So you know the drill. You've been on plenty of times before. We love to start out talking scripture. You chose three passages, so I'm going to read them, all three, and then we'll start with you, Bethany, and then go to you, Scott, and have you just speak to, each of you want to pick one verse or just sort of talk to what these all mean to you. But Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Isaiah 54:13, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. And Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So, Bethany, I'll start with you. Let's talk about those passages.
Absolutely. Well, Proverbs 22:6, where it talks about train up a child in a way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And one of our desires is to, and I love this verse because it speaks to me. You know, I have two children myself, and, you know, that is really our job. We have been entrusted by God to care for our children, and that's our job, is to train them. You know, a lot of times there are children, and we have challenges with, you know, them fulfilling ideas that maybe we wanted to fulfill, but really, our job is to train them up to be adults, to be children of God, to really understand biblical principles that's going to help them become people that can be glorifying to God, that can bring other people and other people to God. So training them up is so important. And what we're going to be talking about today is just such an important issue, because money impacts just about every decision that your child will make as an adult. And so if we can have tools to be able to train them up in a way that can really lead them towards Christ, that can really glorify them, him, and make their life that much better.
Well put. Scott, what do you say about these passages?
Well, you know, I love, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and they shall be in peace. And I think that is so huge, because I think for me, when I think of all the attributes, and as uptight as I can be, having your child actually have peace and knowing that they can go through life with just centering and focusing on God and having that peace is huge. You know, in Colossians it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And I think so often our lack of peace, sometimes we put that on our kids. And as uptight as we might become, especially when it comes to money, it is so hard, especially these days, to not let the money pressures just kind of come out of us and provoke our children and discourage our children. And so one of the things I love about that verse is that, you know, we can put ourselves in a position. And the reason that we wrote this book was so that we can have really great conversations with our kids, so that we can really start talking to them in their language, not our language. Because when they feel heard, there's no way that they can feel provoked. There's no way that they can be discouraged. And so that's why I love those two verses, because I want peace to be on them. And I also want to make sure the way I'm communicating with them doesn't frustrate them, doesn't provoke them, but I can actually be heard.
And you know, when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those attributes don't always happen when it comes to money. And so if we can play a role in parents' lives in teaching our children the relational side of money, that money is going to impact their relationships, and if we can teach them that and teach them how they think about money, then that can lay a firm foundation to helping them and training them in those fruits of the Spirit.
You know, I thought it was so interesting the last time you were on is that in some of the couples that you worked with that were either divorcing or getting ready to divorce over money, but the money issue wasn't that they didn't have any. They had money, but they were divorcing over their disagreements about how to spend money. And that was one of the things that helped you discern. There's actually, just as there are five love languages, there are money personalities that are just instinctive for us, and to understand them can save us so much hardship. So before we get into even having these conversations with our kids, for this person listening who maybe this is a new idea for them, I want to unpack them, if you don't mind, just in general for each of us personally. So there's the saver. Bethany, we'll start with you, and Scott, I definitely want you to chime in as well. Talk about the saver, things that define a saver, but things maybe a saver needs to watch out for.
Yes, and let me just add, before we go through the different money personalities, why we want to make sure we understand the money personalities. The money personalities are what help you get through the money tension inside of a relationship. If you understand your money personalities and the relationship with the person you're in, their money personalities, what we want to help eliminate is money tension. And so if you understand your perspective of money and who you're in relationship with, let's say your spouse, their money personalities, you will probably see a lot of what we just call opposite dynamics going on in the clashes that are going on between them. And then that way, if you understand what your money personalities are, you can understand the perspective with which the person that you're in relationship comes to that money decision. Even simple decisions like, you know, what kind of coffee are you going to drink? Are you going to drink, you know, one from a Starbucks kind of location? Or are you going to brew it at home? You know, one person in the relationship thinks, well, why would you spend $5 on a cup of coffee when you can just brew it at home for 25 cents? There is a money personality that you have that's not right or wrong, and that's what lays the differences that you have between each other.
And that right and wrong, go ahead, Beth. I was going to say that right or wrong thing is so key, because especially with those that maybe look a little better, like the saver, can feel very, very self-righteous and thinking, well, I'm right and the rest of you are wrong. You're just not redeemed in this area of your life yet, right?
You are so right. I mean, oftentimes, and saving money is a very important thing. It's so funny. I picked up my son from school today, and he had a little friend over, and we were driving to home, and he said that his parents gave him $100 for Christmas, and one of the reasons they gave him $100 was to buy a new bike. And he decided he wasn't going to buy that new bike, that he was just going to save his money. And I said, well, what are you saving it for? He said, I don't know. I'm just going to save it. And I thought, what a great example of a saver. You know, we're talking about these money for sale. What a great example of saving. He didn't even know what he was saving it for. Here this kid is, let's see, he's 11 years old. And his natural instinct, it was so funny, when he left, Kate said to me, can you believe he actually is going to save that $100, Mom? And because my son is not a saver. He is a spender. So it was just so funny to see at 11 years old just your perspectives of money and how they can be so different. And it's not right that the one child wanted to save that $100, and it's not wrong that my son would have spent it. So it's not wrong. It's just different. Mm. And so when it comes to inside of a relationship, the same thing. You know, the savers oftentimes come across that they're better than a spender. But you know what? Our spenders give away to our charities and our churches more than a saver ever would and have an easier time doing that. So it's just such an important difference to understand inside of a relationship. So when we talk about savers, savers are people who want to save money, but they want other people to save money as well. The thing that's so interesting about savers is that they don't even know what they're saving it on. They just naturally have an instinct to want to save, which is very different from the second money personality that we have, which is called spender.
What a spender is their natural instinct is to spend, meaning that if when the bills are paid, there's $200 left over, guess what? That $200 is gone, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun because if you think about the spenders, they're huge gift givers. We all have that person in our life that you go out to coffee with them and they bring a gift or a book. That's just who they are. They love to give things. And so at the same time, spenders are sometimes shamed. Because, you know, why, you know, that money just burns a hole in your pocket. I can tell you, being a spender myself, I heard that quite a bit growing up. And so, and even seeing in our 11-year-old Kate, I mean, he has money, and what he's designated for spending, it's spent. There's not a lot of time that goes by before that money is gone. And so, as we're spending, can it get you in trouble? Absolutely. Can it get you in credit card debt? Absolutely. So there are some cons, but there's a ton of pros with the spenders too.
Generous.
And they're generous people. But you can only imagine in a relationship, whether it's you and your spouse or you and your child, if your child is a spender or a saver and you're the exact opposite, there's naturally going to be tension there.
Okay, so if you don't mind, I'd love for you, Scott, to just give a little bit of a con on the saver before we move to the other ones. And so if you've got a saver, because that probably is probably the most celebrated one because it looks and it is wise to save to a degree, but what is maybe the downside that you can maybe miss out on? I mean, so you maybe don't tend to be as generous, but anything else that you would caution a saver with?
Yeah, I mean, savers come across as cheap. Stingy. They don't spend anything. I'll give you a great example. When we were doing all the testing for our kids' money personalities, which assessments, which we'll get to later, I had a friend of mine who has a teenage daughter, and she is a saver.
Hyper saver.
Saver, saver, saver. Well, he was telling me it drives him crazy because when she goes out with her friends, her other friends will order food, and then what they don't eat, she'll just eat. And she's like, hey, it's no big deal. You know, I don't spend any money on food, but I still eat and I'm full and everything is great. I, being a spender, was horrified when I heard that. But that's how savers think. So they can really come across as cheap, tight wads, not willing to give, not willing to chip in. And so there's some real cons you have to be aware of when you're a saver.
You also have to be careful of your witness as a saver from time to time. Because, like, for example, I went out to lunch with someone and they brought their own cup of coffee in. And I said, do you like that cup of coffee better? She said, oh, no, I just don't see any reason why I should pay for the coffee here at the restaurant when I can bring it in myself. And I thought, what message does that give to the waiter, to the waitress?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to be very, very careful on how the witness that we have when it comes to money. You know, the spenders can be very generous, sometimes to a fault, but can be very generous. The savers sometimes can come across so stingy that they can be hurting other people around them and they don't even know it.
Wow. So,
so important. Real important to understand that difference.
I appreciate you just making those cautions because, as with anything in Christian life, there's no room for self-righteousness. Just when you think you know something, you don't realize you don't know what you don't know. I'm just saying. All right. Talking to Scott and Bethany Palmer, we have to take a really quick break. When we come back, just going to have them unpack, just for context's sake, the other three money personalities: risk taker, security seeker, speaker, flyer. You might see yourself, you for sure see yourself in one and two of these. So we're going to talk more about them when we come back. Don't go away. More with Scott and Bethany, the money couple, in just a minute. Song choice, don't you think? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to the money couple, Scott and Bethany Palmer. They talk about the five money personalities, and this specific new book that they've got out is called The Five Money Conversations to Have with Your Kids at Every Age and Stage of Life. And in a moment here, we're going to unpack those conversations around sports, activities, birthdays, Christmases, because if you've got one personality, which you do, and your child has another one, and it's not the same as yours, there's going to be conflict. And if we don't work out these conversations, we can, without knowing it, send messages that I don't really care about what you care about, because I care about my thing. I care about saving, or I care about spending. So this is why Scott and Bethany wrote this book. Very important. But right now we're sort of unpacking these five personalities, so you understand. So before the break, we talked about the saver and the spender. The saver is a person who saves. Even sometimes that's just their goal. They don't even know why they're saving. But the con to that, the downside, is they can come across maybe it's a little bit cheap. The spender is the person who just buys gifts, loves to spend, and maybe the con there is you can overspend and get yourself into trouble. That brings us to the risk taker. And wonder, Scott, if you want to start with that one, talk about the risk taker, the upside and the downside.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to defer that one to Bethany, since she is a risk taker.
All right,
and,
let's do it.
As the opposite of a risk taker, I don't want to, start sweating.
This stresses you out too much. You just rest.
So I'll defer that one to Bethany, and then I'll take security seeker.
Okay. So a risk taker is the people that you think of that they go for it. They're adventuresome. They love to go down a new direction. They love new. They love new vacations. They love new ideas, new restaurants to try. They go for it. The entrepreneurs of the world, if you will. There's not as many risk takers in the world as the other money personalities, because they are the people who are willing to take the chance, who want the new deal. And I know for myself, I'm a secondary risk taker, so I like new, different ideas, new vacations, spending dollars in new, different ways. And because my primary is a spender. So my oldest son is a primary risk taker. So he is constantly coming up with new ideas. It was so funny the other day, he said he was going to be trying out for a sports team. And I said, well, honey, you've never played that sport before. He's like, I know.
Wow.
He just doesn't have any inhibitions to trying new things. He doesn't mind going into groups of people without knowing anyone, where most kids, that scares them to death. There's just not that many primary risk takers out there, and he happens to be one, and we can see it. He loves to start new little businesses and things like that. So risk takers are really those kids that and adults that really, I just say, they always have a new deal right around the corner.
And would the downside, Bethany, be that they bore quickly?
Oh, that is such a great point. Yes, they always, the fact that they want a new deal and they want new adventure means that the everyday folk is going to seem kind of boring to him. And he's always going to want to try to stir the pot and get things going. So you're right. They need to learn contentment. That is very challenging for a risk taker, is just that whole idea of contentment, of peace, of quiet, of listening to the Lord. Those things are challenging for them because, again, they're always looking for the new deal.
All right, Scott, do you want to talk about the security seeker? Does that feel safe to you?
Those are my people.
Me too.
So I'm happy to talk about them.
I'm a spender security seeker. That seems like an irony, and I know you'll address what feels like opposing personalities, but they're not. But talk about security seekers.
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually a spender security seeker, too. That's my primary and my secondary, too. So I know exactly the buyer's remorse.
Well, I can
sign
off now.
You and I are going to carry
you
the
don't
rest
know
of
me.
The rest of the time. time on the phone. But,
okay.
You know, for security seekers, there's always the view of the future. We're always looking out in the future. So when we make a money decision, we don't decide just to go buy something. We're always thinking, how is that going to affect my bottom line? You know, if you ask Bethany, how many insurance policies do you guys have? What do you have and where are they located? She would have no idea. If you ask a security seeker that, being a security seeker, I can tell you how much each policy is with, where those policies are held, what's in our 401k, what, you know, are we on track, are we not on track? Because security seekers are always looking for that level of security. Tires are a great example of a security seeker versus a saver, because a lot of times I'll say, well, aren't security seekers and savers the same? And I go, no. And the way that I explain it is, we were coming down about a year ago from the mountains, and we were flying, and I had a blowout on the back of my on my Suburban on my back tire. So we almost, I mean, I don't know how we didn't wreck. It was just God. But that next day, I go down to Discount Tire, and I bought an 80,000-mile warranty tire. This tire, and I got four of them, these four tires almost cost as much as my first car did. But that's what a security seeker does. I'm looking at an 80,000-mile warranty tire. It's going to last longer than the Suburban will. But that's what security seekers do. So the pros to a security seeker is that we're always looking at the future. We're going to have a plan. We kind of have an internal diagnostic check when it comes to spending for you and me. I have buyer's remorse with just about everything I buy. I return about half the things I have. But
oh my goodness.
The con to a security seeker is we're big no people. And especially if we're married, like I am, to a risk taker, I noticed when Bethany would come to me with a new idea, before she even got the whole thing out of her mouth, because she's ready to take some risk, I would say no. Nope, doesn't fit in the future plan. Nope, I don't see how that can work. So we, security seekers, of all the money personalities, it's probably the security seekers and the savers, we're more fear-based than the other money personalities. And so we really have to watch that. I really have to watch that with my older son. I mean, he's a risk taker, and he's doing all these things, and half the time as a security seeker, I'm having a heart attack with him. And so,
But the thing that's so interesting about Cole is he's primary risk taker, secondary security seeker. So he has this, let's go for it, but then he, like, the security seeker comes in and he gets all nervous because
he joins me.
He joins you.
Plan B maybe would be nice, right? I mean, it's like I'm going to jump out, but I want to make sure I have a couple parachutes maybe, you know?
There
exactly.
you go. There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. And then that last money personality is a flyer. And the reason why we named this last money personality is because we noticed in a lot of the research that we've done is that there's this whole group of people that really don't care about money, that they fly by the seat of their pants when it comes to money, that money is not the first thing on their radar. You know, oftentimes when we make a decision, the money component of that decision kind of pops out based on our money personality. For example, let's go on a vacation. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, I want to go to something kind of fun and different, and I want to, you know, I'm not really going to look at the price tag of it. But what a flyer does is they are so concerned, if you will, about the relationship side of it. So they are more, the first thing that comes to their mind is, let's do it, let's go for it, if it's especially with someone else. A flyer gets asked to go out for coffee. Great. I don't care where we go. I don't care if we spend money or don't spend money. I just want to be with you.
Okay, we got to pause there, Bethany, because we have to take a hard break here. But when we come back, I want you to unpack that a little bit more, because that flyer is so relationally driven, and there's really a redemptive quality there and a caution there, as are with all the personalities. When we come back, more with the money couple. Don't go away. Really more interesting conversation ahead. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to the money couple today, Scott and Bethany Palmer. They got a brand new book out titled The 5 Money Conversations to Have with Your Kids at Every Age and Stage. So if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the first part of our conversation, because we unpacked the five money personalities. We each have a primary and a secondary, and you might want to take the test on their website to find out. And some of you might just be very obvious. So the five personalities are saver, spender, risk taker, security seeker, flyer. And last time you guys were on, after the show, a friend of ours texted me and he said something broke up in the static when he was driving and he didn't hear flyer and he was so desperate to hear it because he said, did I hear you say that they actually don't think about money? Because I've never realized that's my wife, and that answers so many questions for me.
Oh, that's great.
I thought that was amazing, yes. So now we're going to be switching gears to put money personalities in our kids, how we discern them, how we navigate these conversations. And I laughed out loud at my desk when I was prepping, and I read in your book, you said, for a saver, a gumball isn't just a gumball. It's sort of a free fall into debt and bankruptcy. So I thought that was so good. So if you're a saver parent and your child wants a gumball, your brain is going somewhere completely different. They're just, I want a gumball. So we'll start with you, Bethany. Talk about when you have a saver parent and a child who isn't. What do you do?
Well, when you are not a saver and your child is a saver, it is really hard to hear the restriction and you kind of feel like they don't want to have any fun. And they're not, and you're like, well, just lighten up. Just go ahead. Just do it. And so how important it is to understand when your child is a saver that is their first instinct. You know, I think of that child that today that came over to our home and how he said he wasn't going to spend his $100 that he was given to buy a bike. He was just going to save it. And then when I said, well, what are you going to spend it on? And he said, oh, I don't know. I'm just going to save it. And so how important it is to not judge that, but to be encouraging of that. And then at the same time, when you have a saver child, you have to make sure that you are encouraging them to spend their money, to give their money. One of the best things that you can do for a child is to make sure that in terms of the money that you have, like one of the things that we do is we gave our smaller children $3 a week, and we'll talk about that in terms of allowance a little bit later, but we gave each of our children $3 a week. Wasn't wrapped around if they did any chores around the home. It just was to teach them about money. And they put $1 into save, $1 into give, and $1 into spend. So what that did is that shows them that they can save it, they can give it, and they can spend it. This is really important for savers to teach them how to spend money. Oftentimes they don't see anything good about spending money, and there's a lot of good to be spending in money. So having those three pots of money is really important, no matter what money personality your child is. But when you come to a saver, you want to also teach them how to spend.
Okay, Scott, I want to direct this to you now. So what if you're the parent who's a saver and you have a spender for a child? You can sure see, if you don't identify that you have this tendency in your personality, how you feel very righteous and shutting down your child. And that could really negatively impact the relationship.
Oh, I guarantee you it will. I mean, it was really interesting. Bethany and I were speaking at a conference, and I had this lady come up to me, and she had five kids. And her husband was a spender. She was a saver. And she said to me, well, you know, two of my kids are super easy, and the other three kids are just really hard. And I said, well, are the two easy ones, do they have the same money personalities? And she said, yeah. I said, so your other ones are harder because they have different money personalities. And she said, they're much harder. I said, well, you just summed up why we wrote this book. Because if you are a saver and your kid is spending money, you're just going to think they're throwing away their money. It's never, you know, they'll never save enough. They'll never. And so when you see them spending, it literally raises the hair on your own neck. And you'll say, well, you should buy that on sale, or you should go to a thrift store, because that's just how savers think. But what that feels to a spender is just a lack of acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we really talk about is that, for instance, with our kids, especially my younger, I didn't sit him down and say, hey, let's figure out a budget, because he would have heard that word budget, and his ears would have slammed shut, his eyes would have closed, and he would have gone into his happy place. Mm-hmm. But you know what we did? We said, hey, let's sit down and figure out a future spending plan. Well, just in even just rearranging that and calling it a future spending plan, he's all into it. I mean, this little 11-year-old has almost $1,500 saved for his first car. He doesn't have an ounce of saver in his whole body, but it's his future spending plan. And so just understanding how our kids look at money, understanding how our vernacular can change just a little bit to encourage them takes away the tension. And here's the great thing. Cade trusts us. Even though he knows that we know he's a spender, and he'll talk about being a spender all the time, he trusts us and he trusts our feedback. Why? Because we don't come down on him. We don't judge him. But we do give him really good practical advice. We change the vernacular on him a little bit.
And, you know, you can really shame your child and not even know it. You know, my mother is a primary saver, secondary security seeker. Okay, so saver, security seeker. I am a primary spender, secondary risk taker. I mean, we could not be more opposite.
So she probably washed baggies, and you didn't want to do that, right?
But absolutely. I'll give you a great example. I was a competitive swimmer, nationally ranked competitive swimmer. And they, at the time, Lycra swimsuits were what you wore at nationals. And Lycra swimsuits at the time were like $40. And I remember I came home and I said, hey, Mom, we got to get the Lycra swimsuit, got to get ready for nationals. And then she's like, I'm not spending $40 on a swimsuit. Mm-hmm. I don't care if this swimsuit is the best swimsuit ever. I'm not spending $40 on a swimsuit. And I didn't even know at the time, I didn't realize it was really, she was shaming me with money, but I felt like I wasn't worth the $40 for a swimsuit. And so you have to be so careful as a parent. My mom wasn't meaning to put me down and tell me my worth through telling me I couldn't get a swimsuit. She would thought in her mind, she's being wise, she's being smart, she's being a saver, I'm not spending $40 on a swimsuit. And so I'll never forget. I mean, she argued with my swim coach. I mean, it was a really, really big deal. And at the time, again, I thought that I wasn't worth that. That wasn't it at all. And so we can the consequences of our money personalities and what we can be doing to our children can be overwhelming and have lifetime impact.
Totally.
On our children, just not by understanding that.
I mean, you probably felt embarrassed. You probably felt dismissed, as you said, not worth it. And there are adults walking around with parent wounds in their hearts from those kinds of things that really could have been avoided if they had these conversations. So let's go back to that situation. What would have been a good way, and this is not at all to use it as an analogy, we bless your mama, I mean, just everybody does the best with what they have, but let's just say
we could
revisit
We've
that.
We've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll probably even be listening now. And
bless
she's
her heart.
She's perfectly fine with it.
Bless you, mama. Bless you. Because I'm sure we've all done this. We're like, I'm not spending this kind of money, but we communicate a value to something when we have those conversations. So what would be a good way to revisit that when you think about, you know, not very many people make it to nationals as a swimmer or any kind of athlete. That's a pretty big deal. And so what can a parent do in that situation to get you a swimsuit, or should they? What should they do?
Well, first of all, I think, especially if you are a saver or a spender, you have to think about balance. You know, your first reaction is not always the best reaction to a situation. And I think in my particular situation, it would have been wise for my mom to have balance, because I did not spend a lot of money. I was not, you know, I was not foolish with my money. I had made nationals. Okay, this is a big deal. I think you have to have balance, and you don't go to what your first reaction is based on what your money personalities are. You stop. You think about it. We have one thing that we do. We call it stop, drop, and roll. That's when you're having a money fight. You stop. You drop it and you roll out of the room. I think if my mom would have done that, if she would have just not said anything and just thought about it, then she would have come back and she could have said, you know what? I want you to know how proud I am that you made nationals. I want you to know that this is a very expensive swimsuit. This is not nothing. And then I would have gone, yeah, you're right. And then, so let's go get it. But just know you got to take really good care of it. And I would have been like, wow, she really was proud of me making nationals. It wasn't a money issue. It's just that she had thought about it, and that would have spoken so much to me. And I would have known it was a big deal to her that they purchased it.
And to see
so
her
situations, but again, balance is really important.
I was going to say too, to see that she was willing to sacrifice and communicate that to you. This is a lot of money, so we have to sacrifice over here to get this. But you are worth it. We're so proud of you. I think you could walk out the sacrifice later to say we can't go out to eat, or we're cutting back on our ice cream allowance or whatever. But it would have been worth it, and that would have been a character building exercise for sure. And so, wow, I appreciate you just even using that as an example. And so if you have a saver for a child, what you wrote in the book is encourage them that it's okay to spend once in a while. And Scott, let's talk about the spender child. And you wrote about, you know, teaching them that there's a cost and ripple effect of their decisions, which is what you did with your son, to say, let's talk about a spending plan, because there is a ripple effect to your spending decisions. You want to say more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the great thing about working with a spender and having a spender as a child is they're givers. And they're the ones on the playground where if somebody doesn't have something they want, here, you can have mine. I'll just go buy another one. And then they kind of do that as adults, too. I know Bethany all the time catches me and kind of slows me down with giving. But with the generosity, you have to remind them, hey, you have to give in such a way that isn't impulsive. You have to spend in a way that isn't impulsive. You just have to have a plan. And what I tell Kate is that you're actually going to increase your joy by spending money in the right way. If you are saving to give somebody a gift and you save your own money, then you're basically giving in a wise way. It says in Scripture very clearly, God loves a cheerful giver. Mm. And I think 99.9% the most cheerful givers are the spenders. But being able to speak into our kids and saying, hey, you know what, it is so awesome that you're going to go spend, you know, what you made with your paycheck from working with Chick-fil-A. But you have to remember that you've got to keep that future spending plan in place. You have to give. But keeping those things aligned and just working them through the different issues, you don't feel good when you're 17 years old or you're 18 years old, you go to college and you get a credit card as a spender and you rack up all this debt and you have to come back home and tell mom and dad. That doesn't feel good. I was there, been there, done that over a 2-pound bag of M&Ms. It felt terrible. But you know what? If I would have been trained and if I would have had the conversation with my mom and dad that spending money is okay, but if you do it wisely, you're going to reap the benefits from that, it would have been a totally different scenario when I hit college. I was in a spending daze. And so, you know, we can so speak into our kids and so encourage their money personalities. And as you're encouraging, what happens is their minds open up, their hearts open up, and their ears open up, and you can speak and sow those seeds of wisdom that's going to bless them so much in the future.
And if knowing your children's too many personalities is so crucial, because let's say you have a child who's a flyer spender. I mean, in your mind, if you are a saver and a security seeker, you're going to just feel like they're just like out of control. So learning how to parent that kind of child is really, really important. One thing I love about our new book is that we actually give you free access to 5 kids' money personality assessments, because you could probably figure out what their primary one is pretty easily, but it's important to know that both their primary and their secondary one.
It's interesting. When we wrote this book, we basically said, okay, so let's break it down from 5 to 12-year-olds. Hmm. Why did we do that? We wanted them to have their own assessment. But what we found, 5 to 12-year-olds, is where that's where kids learn entitlement. Mm-hmm. And what we found was when we sat around with our friends and other parents, we found that parents were scared to death of 3 things. They were scared of raising entitled, materialistic, and financial dependent children. Mm-hmm. So we looked at 5 to 12, and we've really figured that's where they get most of their entitlement.
And the questions are so great in that 5 to 12-year-old assessment. They're questions like, if you get some candy, what are you going to do with that candy? And those just simple questions like that can really speak to a 5 to 12-year-old, and we make it really, really simple.
Then we went from 13 to 17-year-olds, because what we saw was this is kind of when the materialism really gets them. You know, they're very socially motivated, as you know. They're into the iPhones and the iPads and all the stuff that their friends have. And how to have conversations about those things so that they can start keeping that materialism in check. And so we did a money personality assessment for that age group. And then we did 18 and beyond. And we don't have time to go into it, but that's really when we see financial dependence that parents are going to have to deal with for the rest of their lives. So having the conversations with those 18-year-olds and older, and understanding that by having the right conversations, you're going to be able to set them free and they're not going to be financially dependent. We have 80% of our college grads moving back home after school. And everybody wants to say, well, it's because the economy is so bad and it's because it's so hard to get a job out there. It's not. It's that we're raising financially dependent kids. Mm-hmm. And so we wrote this book because we wanted to say, hey, if you've got a 5-year-old or a 25-year-old, we've got some really practical advice. You're going to learn your kids' money personalities. You're going to make them non-entitled, non-materialistic, and financially dependent.
I got to tell you, our oldest son moved to Nashville. He was determined to make it in Nashville, just loved the city, making $10 an hour, living out of his garden, making salads. And we offered to help him several times. He's like, I want to do this. And he did. And he landed on his feet. It is amazing when they're determined to do that. We've got 2 copies of the 5 Money Conversations to give away. This is your only chance to call in with your questions about your kids. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with the Money Couple in just a moment. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Glad to have you listening today. Talking about the 5 money personalities, especially as it relates to our approach in parenting, because your money personality is most likely different than one of your kids. There's the saver, the spender, the risk taker, security seeker, and the flyer. Talking to the money couple, Scott and Bethany Palmer today. This is your chance to get a call in. We've got 2 copies of this great book to give away. 877-933-2484. Maybe you've got questions about how to navigate, you know, the birthdays. It's like keeping up with the Joneses. You maybe have a friend who's got all the big blow-up toys in the front yard, and you've got cupcakes, and you're thinking, I'm sort of falling short here. How do you navigate those kinds of things? Believe it or not, Scott and Bethany address that in their book, 877-933-2484. Anthony's calling in from West Palm Beach, Florida. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Not so good. I'm traveling actually to go pick up two boys that are in need of help. My children went through a divorce, and they're acting out with their mother, and they're both in detention centers right now. They're not being held for any crimes, but they've been separated out of the home because the home is very there's a lot of anger issues between all 3 parties, my ex-wife and my 2 boys, and I need some help. But as far as, you know, a book or, what they were speaking about is how to train different kids. And, you know, it's so hard being a father and with kids that are defiant.
I'll go to you, Scott, first, if you don't mind. Speak to Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony, I think the first thing is that, and I commend you on going down and taking care of those boys and being a dad of 2 boys myself. I'm just praying that when you see them, that you have a sense of compassion and not anger, because I know when boys act out, they can really, really act out. And so I think you having compassion in this situation is super important, because no one wants to be in this situation. They don't want to be in this situation any more than you want them to be in this situation. Part of what I also think that's really important is that it's important to remember both those boys are totally different. I have 2 sons, and they could not be more different. And so you might want to talk to, I know definitely when it's true, when it comes to even the money personalities in a situation like this, you want to speak to them the way that they're going to be heard. And you want to speak to them individually so that they can absorb that and walk away from that, because that's a tough situation. But really understanding who they are, being open to them, spending some kind of quieter time with them right now, and really trying to get to the heart of who they are is definitely where I would at least suggest that you start.
Hmm. Want to add anything, yeah, Bethany?
Yes, I was going to say, you know, money impacts just about every decision that we make. And for your sons, starting to open their eyes to who they are. I mean, there's a lot of anger going on, and trying to deflect that anger into some self-discovery could be actually really fun for them, and kind of get them off of their circumstances right now and focus a little bit more on on knowing themselves and knowing where ideas and things are coming from. So we really encourage you. You know, you're going to be able to get this book, having the access to the Money Personality Assessments. When things calm down a little bit, be sure to go through that with them. I think it'll be enlightening for them and something really fun and a way to deflect some of the challenges that they're having right now.
Anthony, if I could add one more thing, we have a marriage family expert on regularly, Dr. Greg Smalley. He's a good friend, and he often says that anger really is a secondary emotion. Underneath anger is one of these three things: hurt, fear, or frustration. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to pause. Charlotte, we're going to take your call in just a moment. But if you don't mind, I'm going to pause because I want you to think about these boys. They're hurt, they're afraid, or they're frustrated, or all of the three. And
right.
And God is sending you to go get them. And so I would just want to pray, if we could, for you, Anthony, as you get ready to go get them, that you would sense God's grace and his wisdom. You know, he promises to give you wisdom when you ask for it. And so would that be all right if I just pray for you real quick?
Of course. Mm.
Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for Anthony. Thank you, God, that you've appointed him for such a time as this. And so we together, we just lift him up to you. And I ask that you give him grace. I pray you give him peace. I ask you to give him a spiritual discernment unlike anything he's ever had before, so that when he talks with his sons, he discerns what the issues truly are. Lord, I just pray for eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to do your will as he loves on these kids in the way that you love them. And I pray in the conversations to come, as Bethany said, that there would be some real self-discovery for these guys, that they would start to unpack their hurt and their fear and their frustration. And I pray healing would happen. That's above and beyond anything Anthony could ever dream or hope for. Ask you to bring some healing and reconciliation to this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, bless you, sir.
The other thing is I'm married. I've been married. I have two other boys. I have a three-year-old and I have a one-year-old. So, I support my boys that I'm going to get now with child support. But, you know, and I'm getting them full time now, both of them. But I'm prepared. Just to mold them into men is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, wow.
And that's what it's going to happen to them all the time. Like I forget the gentleman's name, but he's spoken children moving back into their home after college. And I've never been raised that way. I give my parents money. I don't, you know, I've always been raised to work hard, and I don't ask my parents for anything. I never have. And that, they come to me for help. My parents do. So that's why I want to try to mold my boys into becoming men and learn how to manage money and learn a skill, learn a trade, you know, something.
Mm. Well, it's not going to be a small thing to bring them into your home as it is, so I'm going to be remembering you, Anthony. I pray you'll call back and keep us posted on how you're doing. We just have a couple minutes before we have to wrap up and pray, but I want to get Charlotte. She's been holding. She's calling in from Barbary. Is that right, Florida?
Barbary.
Barbary. Oh, so close. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. We literally have about 45 seconds before we have to pray, but I know you've got an important question for the money couple today.
Yeah, I'm a grandparent, and my daughter is not very good with money. I'm not very good with money, but I want to help my daughter mold her children into better money kids, because I can already see they're one's a spender and one's a saver, and I deal with that in my family because I'm a spender and my husband's a saver, and I don't want my grandchildren to go through the struggles that I've gone through and my daughter's gone through. I seem to be more concerned about it than my daughter, so I want to know what I can do on weekends, because that's when I get them, to help learn them, teach them about money.
Mm. Okay, Cheryl, I'm going to have you just pause, and we're going to make sure you get a copy of the book. But we literally out of time to pray. So Scott and Bethany, I'm thinking that if you would close in prayer for Charlotte and those who are just like her and ask God to give her wisdom. We literally have to wrap up now, but she will get a copy of your book. Bethany, would you mind praying for Charlotte?
No, I don't mind at all. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for Charlotte, for her desire to help her grandchildren. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that this resource that they're going to get in their hands, the app, opportunity to be able to take the assessment with her grandchildren, will just be a wonderful start of just something that can be have such an impact in their lives. Lord Jesus, we pray for all the parents out there that they can really help their children in this area that's so important, that's going to impact their lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom that you have that in your word, and just for this incredible resource that's going to be getting into so many parents' hands. Give us as parents wisdom to be able to grow our children up in glorifying you. Mm. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful hour, and we just pray blessings over the many parents today. in your holy and precious name. Amen.
You know, Scott and Bethany, when I think of how many wounds, avoidable parent-child wounds, can be solved because of this book, I get very excited about it. So thank you for writing this book.
You bet. Thank you for having us. It was a great time.
Always good to have you guys. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I am Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. There's so many articles there, so many podcasts you can share. We have had a power week. There's so many that I'd love for you to go back and listen to if you want to. And also, you can get them on iTunes for free. They download just like that. Super easy. And really glad you tuned in today. You hear this from me most days. I'm going to say it again. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Have a blessed weekend.